Luke chapter 24 is a passage that's interesting. One of the things that we notice about Luke 24 is that it is two places in that passage Jesus has a Bible study. And I like the Bible studies. And one of these days, and this is one of the things I'm going to ask the Lord to let me do, is to see a review of the Bible study that he has here with not only these two on the road to Emmaus, but also with the disciples later on in the chapter. And I want you to think about it. Look at verse 44 before we get started. And look at verse 44, and it says, and this is what Jesus said when he met with the disciples, and he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." I want you to think, what we're doing here is the fact that we're looking at Jesus, and Jesus is saying, "I'm going to have a Bible study with you guys." And it says he was giving them all the background, all the lessons from the Old Testament that concerned him. Now, don't you think that took a while? But I want to focus more on the earlier Bible study, and we're going to focus on these two on the road to Emmaus. And you may not necessarily understand my title to this message, but you will by the time I'm done. And I've entitled the message, "Don't Be a Fool." Don't be a fool. Let's stand in honor of the Word of God. We're going to read, starting with verse 13 in chapter 24 of Luke, and we'll read a few verses there. And it says, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was far from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they walked together of all things, and they talked together of all things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communication are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass here in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. And we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, when they found not his body. And they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your many blessings. And Lord, I thank you for this blessed book that doesn't teach us of a dead Savior, but a risen Savior. And Lord, I thank you that we have victory because we've called on Jesus, and he's reached down and saved us because he has the power. He conquered sin when he died on the cross, and he conquered death, hell, and the grave when he rose. Lord, we just ask you to move in a special way. We're counting on you to help us to learn from this message. And Lord, once again, we need your power. We need your spirit. We want to hear from you. We need to hear from you. Don't let the preacher get in your way. But Lord, let us hear clearly from the Word of God and the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. One of the things I see here is the fact that these two men, they're walking, and I want you to understand, a lot of times what goes on in our lives, it disillusions us. Things happen to us that we don't think should happen. Things happen to us that irritate us, that we shake our hands, you know, up to God, and we're standing there and, Lord, why? I remember one time, and Gary will remember this individual, but we had a boss named Wayne Shelton. And Ray and I, we were down at the shop. And we called up there to the fab shop. We needed a forklift to move some material for us so we can get back to sandblasting and paint. Gary knows the process. And so we called about 2 hours later. We're just hanging around down there at the shop. And it's a couple hundred yards or so from one to the other. And our boss walks around the end of the building and he goes like this. Didn't need to say anything, did he? What are y'all doing? So what do? We throw our hands up. Where's our forklift? We didn't need to say anything. What does he do? Says it all, right? He forgot. But I want you to understand, sometimes we don't need to necessarily talk about it, but there are times when we throw our hands up and say, Lord, what's going on? What's going on? What are we doing? Why are you doing this? Why do you let this happen? And that's what these men are doing. They're walking and they're talking. They're disillusioned because what happened to Jesus. And they had in mind that he was going to be the one to get the kingdom of, or conquered Rome, and Israel was going to be set free from the defeat and the rule of Rome. But I want you to get this in the fact that everything that happened happened for a reason. Everything that happened to Jesus was part of God's plan. The disciples saw that after the fact. You and I, we kind of think, well, all those things that they were talking about. And remember something, Jesus gave a lot of symbols. He gave a lot of analogies. He made some statements that were hard to understand. John chapter 6 says that there were a lot of people walked off and left him, didn't follow him anymore because he made statements that were hard to understand. You and I, sometimes we say, well, you know, it's all right there. If we had been there, we wouldn't have had the Bible either. We might have had a little bit of teaching from the Bible here or there. But the truth is, these men, they were not well trained in the disciple in the lessons of the Bible. So not only were they, do we see in verses 13 through 15 that they were disillusioned, they were so disillusioned that they didn't recognize Jesus. I want you to get that in the fact that you and I need to realize that when things happen, even if we don't understand what's going on, Jesus is there.
Right.
Even if you don't recognize him, he's there. He said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He said there's no time. He said, lo, I am with you always. Guaranteed he will never, ever leave his children. I like the fact that one day when the rapture takes place, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now that means that we'll be with him physically. We'll be able to see him, and everywhere he goes, we'll go. But that's not the way he's with us right now. He's with us in the body of the Holy Spirit. He lives inside of us.
Amen.
And he'll never leave us nor forsake us. So not only are they disillusioned in verses 13 through 15, but 16 and 17, let's look at those. It says, "But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad?" He was about to make them happy. Okay? In fact, you remember the women at the tomb, they did not recognize Jesus either. Now, apparently there's some kind of difference between the physical appearance and the spiritual, the glorified body appearance. But one way or another, a lot of people didn't recognize Jesus. Do they not recognize him because his appearance is different? Or do they not recognize him because they weren't looking for him?
Yep.
Sometimes we're not looking for the Lord.
Yep.
Sometimes we don't see him, but he's there. Remember the disciples in the boat, and they were afraid it was a ghost. It was a spirit walking on the water. No, it wasn't. It was Jesus. And they didn't recognize him. I want you to understand, no matter what you go through, no matter what I go through, whatever is dealing with my legs, no matter, guess what? Even that great nephew of yours, one thing's for sure, God can handle it. And he can take care of it. And he's got a reason for it, even though we may not necessarily, number one, understand the reason or know the reason. Number two, may not necessarily agree with the reason. He's God, right?
Yeah.
And everything he does is perfect, right? I want you to get that now. Everything he does is not only perfect, it cannot be improved on. No, there's no better idea. So scratch that. Sometimes we think, well, Lord, I've got a better idea. Don't say that to him. You'll regret it.
That's right.
And don't follow your idea, follow his. So these guys were not only disillusioned, point number one, but discouraged, point number two. And then what we see in verses 20 and 21, and I'm not going to go through it because we've already read it, but they described to Jesus what they thought he had missed. I get kicked every once in a while because I'll do the same thing. Maybe you do too. I'll say, Lord, this happened, and this happened, and this happened, and this happened. And I'm sitting there thinking, why am I telling him this? He knows it. You know, why are these guys describing this to him? Because they don't think he knows what took place. But there's not an event that takes place in your life, my life, or life of anybody on planet Earth that Jesus does not know about and does not care about. He cares for each one of us. But I want to bring out a little bit of a difference here. And we're going to go read into some verses that I did not read. Look at let's go to verse 24. And it says, "And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. Verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all in all scriptures the things concerning himself. I want you to, I've looked it up. The term fool is only found like, I don't know, 12, 13 times in the New Testament. Now, in Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, it's found over 100 times. But it's only found 3 times in the Gospel of Luke. All 3 of them come from the Lord's mouth. If you go to Luke chapter 11, verse 40, it talks about the fact that that's where the he's talking to the Pharisees. And he's talking to them about the fact that they washed the outer portion of the cup, but they don't wash the inside. Talking about themselves. And he calls them fools. I got news for you. I not like a clean cup inside and out. By the way, God does too. He wants you to be clean. He wants me to be clean. He wants us, and not just to be, and he wants us to look nice and be nice, clean nice, but it needs to be inside too. He wants the heart to be clean. He's not going to use a dirty vessel any more than you will or I will. And so that was what he was talking to the first time he mentioned the term fool in the Gospel of Luke. But then there's another one. This one might be a little more familiar, because this was a certain rich man who had a bountiful harvest. And what did he say? He said he was going to tear down his barns and he was going to build bigger ones. And that's where the Lord speaks to him and says, "Thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee." Now those are the other two times, but the third time, I guess the third time that the Lord uses the term fool in the Gospel of Luke is the one that sparks my interest, and I think it shouldn't be there. No, I'm not saying it shouldn't be turned that way. I believe the words are God's words and they're right where they should be. But why did Jesus call these two disciples fools? Remember my title? Don't be a fool. You see, what we see here is the fact that these men, they were discouraged, even though everything that God had planned took place. They were discouraged, and they thought, well, since Jesus died and was crucified, apparently he's not the one. That's not true. Amen. You see, we have our own mindset. The word discouraged is a simple definition as far as I'm concerned. It simply means unfulfilled expectations. We're expecting one thing and it doesn't happen. And that's a lot of times that brings discouragement to us. But the truth is, we need to be encouraged because God's still on the throne. We need to be encouraged because he's still in control. And discouragement is just a tool of the devil. But we trap ourselves in discouragement sometimes because we expect this to happen and it doesn't happen. And we don't expect this to happen and it does. And so what we see here is the fact that the Lord Jesus is saying, everything that I did, he's talking to these men, everything that I did that took place in Jerusalem was supposed to take place. It was all part of God's plan. But you guys, I don't understand why you're sad. I'm standing here before you. And they still didn't recognize him. Don't you think they got a little perturbed when the Lord called them fools and slow of heart? What's the matter with your heart? Get it out of gear, boy. And what he's saying is the fact that you haven't been paying attention. I've been outlining what needed to take place. If you go back, let's go there right quick. Go to Matthew chapter 27. I guess this gets me a little bit, and I'll be honest with you, I'm not trying to call anybody a fool, because I know I play the fool sometimes too when the devil baits me. Look at verse 62 and following to Matthew 27. It says, now the next day, this is after the crucifixion, after Jesus had been buried, it says, now the next day that followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, sir, we remember that the deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. Guess what? The Pharisees understood what he was saying. Why didn't his followers? That's why he called him a fool. Old fools and slow of heart. By the way, I like this. Look at what it says in a little farther. Verse 64, it says, command therefore that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. Look at this last phrase. I preached on it a few years back, but it says, so the last error shall be worse than the first. The last error shall be worse than the first. You know what they're saying? They're saying this, the fact that they messed up. Now, did they really believe that he was the Messiah? Maybe, maybe not. But they knew for a fact that having an innocent man crucified was their first error. And they wanted to make sure that this tomb was sealed to a point where nobody could get that body out. I think the devil might be behind some of that. He's behind that because what's going on is the fact that he doesn't want Jesus to get out. You really think if he can come back to life from the dead, he predicts his own resurrection, that stinking tomb is going to hold him? Not hardly. Not hardly. I'm saying all that to say this. There are times that things happen in our life. And I'm preaching to myself. I've been dealing with this with my legs. It's not easy for me to rely on my wife to transport me everywhere. But did it catch the Lord off guard? No. Does he expect me to still be faithful? Yes. Is it going to change who I am? No. I'm still a hard-headed, crazy preacher. Still want to see souls saved more than ever. And I'm finding new ways to do it. But the truth is, what happens to you, what happens to me, what happens to people, it can't happen unless the Lord allows it to happen. It has to pass through His hands. It has to get His approval, or it can't happen. Same thing with my legs. Same thing with Miss Amy. Why? We may not know this side of heaven. In fact, the Lord might not decide to tell us in heaven. But we just got to trust Him. Yeah. That's why, that's how we become a fool. That's why I've entitled the message, "Don't Be a Fool." When things don't happen the way you think they should, still trust Jesus. Because He's trustworthy every step of the way. Every day, no matter what happens, guess what? I'm going to go ahead and say this. Ryan's here. He knows what I'm talking about. But there was a couple college students that were expelled for messing up. I was dean of students. I was involved in the expulsion process when I was there. In fact, one of my jobs at times was to drive them home. You expel a student and you have to drive them. One of them had to drive all the way to Fort Myers. You don't talk about a fun trip. But the young man I drove home so many years ago, 15 years ago or whatever, he's still in church.
Amen.
But when I heard about these two students that were expelled, it bothered me. It still does. But the truth is, they've got a decision to make. They made a bad one. When we make a decision, sometimes we make bad decisions. Guess what? The key is, don't let it be a habit. You take that decision, that bad decision, number one, you apologize to the Lord for it. Amen. Repent of it. And say, "Lord, help me. Whatever I've got going, whatever I need to do to make it right, Lord, please help me make it right." These disciples, I think they got right. I think they figured it out. I think they took the rebuke from the Lord like you and I need to. The Lord doesn't rebuke us needlessly. Many times, number of times in the Bible, I remember hearing the Lord say, "Oh, ye of little faith." I don't want to be that way. I don't want to be a fool. So what I'm going to do, I'm just going to keep trusting Jesus. And you know what? Not one time in my almost 67 years has He let me down. Amen. And not one time will He ever let you down either. So what do we want? What I entitled the message? Don't be a fool. Keep trusting Jesus. If you're here and you're not saved, you don't know for sure your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life, today is the day to get it settled. Amen. Today is the day to get it settled. Don't put it off. We know for a fact that this world is going in a crazy direction, and there are crazy people out there, and not one of us knows that we'll be here tomorrow. no matter how young or old we are. But the truth is, Jesus is here, and he wants to save. And if there's a decision you got to make, don't, just please don't put it off. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. What a blessing it is to know that just like you rebuked these disciples, you've rebuked me because I needed rebuking. But Lord, I thank you that you tell me the truth and you're trustworthy and you're faithful. And Lord, what we want to do is to do something special. We want you to move in a mighty way in our lives and in the invitation. If there's one here that's not saved, whatever the decision needs to be made, Lord, we beg them, we beg your Holy Spirit to prompt them to make that decision today. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Lord, we love you. We want you to move in each heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.
All right. Let's stand. Jesus paid it all, 157.
Okay. One more time.
Jesus paid it all, 157.